This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Lara Yerezian joining us as we discuss more in the trial of Alec Murdoch. I want to ask you, Lara, about kind of the psychology of this and the case on how it's being handled. Was the defense really in a corner here where all efforts were made to point things in one direction and then they realized, oh, well, we can be proven wrong on this, this, and this with the timeline, so what do we do? I know! Just come out and tell them that you lied. And then see if you get some sympathy. Was this planned all along, or what was this?
I guess you could always make the argument that he's conforming to his story to the evidence that's been presented at the trial, right?
Sure.
Now, that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that, yeah, he lied. He lied, but not because he killed his family members, but because he got nervous and he got scared and he knew he was the prime suspect, and he didn't want to say he was there because as soon as he said that, he places himself at the crime scene.
Sure.
Within minutes of it happening, right? So, think about it. Like, it's scary to be questioned by law enforcement. It's scary to know that you're the suspect. It's scary to know, especially as an attorney, that you know, what comes next. So, is that a human reaction that is natural sometimes? Yeah, some people will react that way. Just like when someone that's close to you who passes away, some people start crumble and start crying, and others are just stone cold. They're not even reacting. Does that mean one's a better human being than the other, or one's guilty versus and the other isn't? No, not really. Each person reacts differently. Now, this is going to come down to his credibility. Yeah. This is going to come down to whether this jury believes him. If the jury believes he truly got scared and frantic, and once he told the lie, he couldn't go back and change the story, right? I mean, you're stuck. And he's hoping that there's nothing that can prove it otherwise. And he's thinking in his mind, what difference does it make anyway?
Yeah.
Right? I wasn't the one who did it. Or is the jury going to think, no, you were caught. You're caught in a lie. So bad. So many witnesses testifying against you saying, this is your voice. You've got to deal this early on. And that's why you had the defense do it at the beginning, because they wanted to get that out there and put it on the side saying, fine, we're coming clean. Boom. Let's move on to the more important things. Right.
I agree. But what I wonder here, because his argument is, I truly love them. I love them so much. I would never intentionally hurt them, which was one of the things he said, which was rather seemingly odd, is, okay, so you said this, you're scared. I get it. It's a human emotion. It's a reaction that, you know, it's a bad choice, but people make those choices. At least a little ways into this, if you truly love them and you want to find the killer or killers, you are pointing law enforcement in a completely different direction if you're lying about your own whereabouts and such. And yes, you know, if you're confident that you did not do this and you know you did not do this, why wouldn't at some point you go and say, look, I was scared. I here's what I said. Here's why I said it. You know, you can believe me or not, but I want you to find the person who did this because I do truly love them. I don't think it speaks very much to his true emotions of love or his definition of love towards his family. I don't think it's the same definition that the rest of us use when you're willing and able to continue that lie for that long.
Yeah, I mean, and I understand where you're coming from. But at the same time, how much of a difference would it have made in apprehending, assuming there's other killers out there, right?
Sure.
The true killers. And we know that there's two different types of firearms that were used in this case. It kind of points to the idea that there may have been two individuals, and I understand why the defense would bring, they have to bring that up.
Sure.
And if he did it, then it would have been planned, right? It had to have been planned if he's doing it, because he's bringing in two. So that's a lot of planning.
Yeah.
By one individual, unless he had an accomplice. But I mean, again, I understand he's a despicable human being. he's not someone that is going to get a lot of sympathy. Mm-hmm. But at the same, and he committed fraud. But generally, people who are committing fraud, and they're not necessarily also violent people. Mm-hmm. So I know we want to jump to the next, to the conclusion that, you know, someone who's this bad, and everything is about to blow up in his face, right?
Yeah.
In a few days, he had to turn over his financials, this and that, and they're pointing at the timing, all sorts of stuff. But the jury's job is to see if there's reasonable doubt. And if the prosecution met their burden, have they met that burden? Forensically, I don't think they've really met the burden. Mm-hmm. Yes, they've got the lie. Yes, they've got the fact that he's committed lots of fraud and he's been a horrible human being. And he was also a drug addict, right?
Yeah.
But does that mean, or is that equivalent to him also being a killer, and not just any killer? My God, you're talking about blowing his son's brains out. It's horrific.
Yeah.
Horrific. Same with the wife. I mean, it's horrid. The goriness of the scene in itself is just awful. I can't even imagine it. And you could see him break down as he was describing it, right? So for him to have gone from someone who's committing financial crimes to this mass killer is a huge jump. And I know the hatred is going to play a huge role here. The prosecution's counting on that. They're counting on that all that character evidence. People are going to react the way you're reacting to it. It's elimination. He's about to get caught. And you know what? He's not a good human being, and he would have done this. I believe that someone like him is capable of doing that.
Sure.
And that's exactly what the prosecution wants. They want the jury to think that. They want them to believe that this horrible man who committed all these financial crimes was trying to get someone else to take the blame for his son's manslaughter case, right? When things were about to blow up in his face after he stole money, embezzled money from his firm, from clients. I mean, he's the worst kind of human being that you could ever encounter. And at that point, since everything was crumbling, he must have killed his wife, because he couldn't face his wife. He couldn't face his son, Paul. Right. But you're forgetting, it's not just his wife and Paul. This is a very close-knit family. Mm-hmm. It's not just Maggie and Paul. He's got Buster, he's got his brother, he's got cousins. It's a huge clan, and it's a very close-knit, very tight family. So was he going to go around killing everybody?
Exactly. There's a problem here
with that theory.
If you take all of the other pieces away from this, and we were to look at it, if this was only tried without the boat accident information in there, without all of his financial crimes being in there, it's not a very strong case if we're just solely looking at the timing here. One could, argue either way a little bit, but do you think that he would, if everything else was taken out of this and the blinders were on and the jury only knows about the arguments of time and when and where, do you think they'd convict? Is it enough to convict if we're only looking at that? Or is all these other character pieces of evidence what's going to find him guilty?
I can tell you it's not enough to convict.
No.
It shouldn't be enough to convict. It is a circumstantial case, but I don't think they have enough. But I've seen jurors convict people that I thought they shouldn't convict. So nothing surprises me. I've seen circumstantial cases that have lacked forensic evidence, where there were no eyewitnesses, no DNA, no nothing. And because, again, the emotions came into play, and the jury convicted. And one prime example of that for me is Scott Peterson. The hatred for him was so palpable. Uh-huh. So palpable. he was already convicted in the media, and it was easy for the jury to just convict, not because the evidence proved it, not because there was no reasonable doubt. Believe me, there was plenty of reasonable doubt, but because they believed that someone like him, someone who behaved the way he did, someone who had a mistress, someone who was lying while a search was happening for his wife, was capable of doing this. And that's exactly what's happening here. They're going to say someone like this man is the kind of individual who would have done this. And when you say, you know, he has no feelings and no emotions, we're talking about a sociopath.
Yeah.
A sociopath doesn't have remorse, doesn't have feelings, doesn't have emotions. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen any evidence of him being a sociopath. We would have seen something up until now. And I didn't see that. Quite the opposite. I saw a man who was very close to his wife and family, and there were really no major issues between them, except for his addiction. But then as a family, they were the typical family that resolved issues like most families do. And violence was not part of their lives. So, the jury could go either way. They've got enough for reasonable doubt. If they want to acquit him, the reasonable doubt is there. The fact that two firearms were used, and the fact that there were people who were threatening Paul, and Paul's the one who was killed here together with his mom who happened to be there. You can make that argument. Mm-hmm. And I think it's there if they want to acquit. But if they want to, and if they decide that, you know what, this guy did it because he lied and we don't trust him, he didn't come across as very credible on the stand, then they could also convict him.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
She's good at what she does. Definitely. Laura Yaretsi, and thank you so much for coming on and giving us your insight and arguing this with us. I love that. I love having conversations with her because it makes me think a little bit. Hopefully it does for you guys too. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our discussions on the cases that we're following for you, including you can call and express your opinion. We'd love to hear from you. 888-5-KILLER, 888-554-5537 is our phone number to weigh in on any of the cases that we are covering for you here on Hidden Killers and True Crime Today. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.